It's time to head into the barn. This is the Bet America Radio Network. You're in the barn. In the barn. Talking horse racing news, events, and a whole lot more. Here's your host, Jason Bean.
All right, welcome into the barn, the Bet America Radio Network. As we are on the road here in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada, I'm staring right out my hotel room window at the Mirage, Caesar's Palace, Cosmopolitan, and the Aria sign as well. A beautiful day here in the city, but most of it, for me at least, and for most of the folks here at NHC, was spent down on the second floor in the wedding convention room where the National Handicapping Championships are going on. A busy first day, and, you know, the thing I got, most people seem to agree that the first day is you just want to at least put yourself in a position to have a chance tomorrow to, you know, to get to the final table and stuff. So it's, you know, I it wasn't quite as insane as I thought it would be. Like, I'd seen videos before of, you know, guys and gals just screaming at the, come on, fall, you know, there was rooting, but there wasn't as much of that. But, the first day in the books, Phil Bongiovanni, which is a great name, is in the lead with 200 points. And Dan Camoro is second, and I actually know Dan and have interviewed Dan. I did a story on him at Portland Meadows because he's a based up in Tigard, Oregon, and he's a really good tournament player and a good handicapper in general, and so was really excited to see Dan's name pop up in second. Guitarist for Aerosmith, Joe Perry, is in third, and Jim O'Neill, Cheryl McIntyre, right now fifth, $147.50. Charlie Davis is seventh. He's a guy that I actually talked to this morning. I'm going to play some interviews with a few different players that I spoke with before the contest got started. And Charlie, of those players, is right in the hunt in seventh place with his second ticket. So it's Charlie. And Joe Perry, too, is also a top 14 guy. So Joe Perry having a big start. It was pretty funny because when they don't flash the standings until after the first of the mandatory races. And Jonathan Kinchin, who is the NHC champion, is you know, playing for an extra $2 million bonus if he wins here. So everybody's kind of keeping their eye on him. And when they flashed the first round of standings, he was first and third. He had had one of the big bombs that came in early on in the day. And I think everybody was just like, man, how do we stop this guy? But Jonathan settled in 27th place right now, $113. Right below him in 28th is our a guest we had on just a week or so ago, Vic Stoffer, at 112.9 points. Dana Reese, 109. I'm trying to think. Stanley Bablish is a defending champion. He's right now in 22nd at 122.4. And, you know, Jonathan Kinchin's other entries at 102.6. So Jonathan's got two entries in the hunt. Michael Baychak, a defending champion, at $98. Nick Tamaro up to $94.05. Talked to Nick this morning. One of the coolest things about this whole thing is I've gotten to meet a ton of people who I've talked to either through radio or Twitter or, you know, just kind of know through the grapevines. And got to, you know, put faces with names, which was really, really kind of cool to get to see all those folks. But I wanted to share, you know, I'd never been to one of these tournaments, so I wanted to share, you know, kind of some thoughts that folks who are regulars here, you know, have about the tournament before we got started. So first I want to preview Barbara Boley, who's worked with the Tournament Edge. She's one of the co-creators of that, along with Anthony Trezza, and a fantastic tournament player, has a $100,000 game win under her belt. And here was when I talked to Barbara before the tournament today. All right, I'm here in the main ballroom with Barbara Boley, who's a qualifier via Derby Wars, double qualifier via Derby Wars. And Barbara, none of the races started yet, but you're starting to feel the excitement?
Oh, this place is electric. It's awesome. I mean, the thing about the live tournaments is the camaraderie. And this is a kind of solo sport, you know. People do this, like, in their pajamas at home a lot of the times, and we don't get to see each other. And not a lot of people around the country do this. This is a small group, and when we all get together, it's just like a reunion, and it's awesome.
I was liking it to the first day of, like, coming back to college for, like, your junior year. Like, everybody's kind of finding their room and getting their spot, and then the camaraderie starts. But it's I'm curious to see if the mood will change once the races start.
oh, these are fierce competitors. You better believe the mood will change. What the first instance in which it will change is when somebody or a bunch of people hit the cap horse that the rest of us don't have. And then it'll be like, half the room is going to be sunk and like just like head on the table, and then half the room is going to be cheering, and then it starts getting a little hairy, and you know your best pal's no longer quite looking the same. So.
Do you know any of the folks here at your table?
I don't. Nobody here yet. We've only got two people here yet, but we'll meet. You know, we meet and we talk. You meet new friends at your table. The table's kind of the nucleus for a lot of things that happen. You get to share ideas a little bit. You get to talk about how you're doing. You share emotions and all that kind of stuff. So tables can be the start of something big for the next time around. Friendships start up and stuff like that. But my table's not very full yet.
All right. Well, Barbara, best of luck. I'll come check in with you a little bit later. We'll see how you're doing.
I hope I'm doing well. Thank you, Jason.
All right. Barbara Boley joining us here on the Bet America Radio Network. So I got to actually have dinner with Barbara last night and some other players, one of whom, Thomas O'Connor, we're going to hear from in just a second. But it was really cool to pick Barbara's brain about the handicapping tournaments. She's one of the more well-respected and well-known players on the tournament circuit, so it was really cool to get to chat with her. Actually, was a professor at a college before, kind of now just doing the tournament thing full-time and working on the Tournament Edge, which you should definitely check out as well. Speaking of Thomas O'Connor, he was a guy I sat with at dinner last night, was telling me that he was down in Mexico City all week. He's a lawyer, and he was down there working. Then he had to fly back to Atlanta and then fly over to Vegas. So I was curious if he was tired from all of his trips as we were getting ready to start the NHC. All right, I'm here with Bet America qualifier Thomas O'Connor. Thomas, we had dinner last night, and you were telling me you just flew up from Mexico to Atlanta and then back over here. Are you tired, or are you jazzed up with all the electricity?
Oh, I'm jazzed up. I'm going to be tired tonight, but so tomorrow's going to be a different story. Haven't carded that at all tomorrow, but I'm ready to go today.
How does your do you have a plan for the day, or do you kind of wait to see how everybody else is doing or how you're doing?
I have a plan until the first race goes off, and then everything goes to heck.
I've been told that, like, when a cap horse hits the room, like, changes completely. Have you had that experience?
Only at home online, because there were none last year, right? So, in fact, there was a lot of chalk last year, but I'm expecting some big pops today.
All right, Thomas, we'll check in with you a little bit later. Thank you so much, and best of luck.
Jason, thanks.
All right, thank you. So when I talked to Thomas mid-tournament, mid-card today, he said he was doing okay and had a couple of winners, but things were a little slow. One person who things were not slow for was my fellow Seattleite, Charlie Davis, who I've gotten to know through Twitter and through he's active with Hannah. We talked a little bit about that before the tournament got started. But Charlie right now in seventh place and well within striking distance for that $800,000 top prize. All right. Now, of course, I'm rooting for Bet America qualifiers, but if not one of them, I'm definitely rooting for a fellow Seattleite, Charlie Davis. Charlie, how you doing?
I'm doing really well. Thanks.
Charlie, it's kind of a cool, quiet, positive environment right now. Do you think it changes a little bit once the racing gets going?
Oh, it'll change quickly, especially when we have the first mandatory. It'll start getting nuts. You'll hear a lot of yelling. This is kind of the calm before the storm. It'll go off.
Do you have a strategy for today? Because I know that they're off the turf some places, so it's a little bit of a different kind of day for you guys, isn't it?
Yeah, it's tough. I have two entries, too, so it's tough finding enough plays that I'm confident in. So my price targets have kind of dropped with the quality of the racing today, the shorter fields, and two entries.
Real quick, I know you do a lot of work with Hannah, the Horse Players Association North America. How'd you get involved with them? And just real quick, what does Hannah do for horse players?
Yeah, so Hannah tries to act as an advocate for the horse player, because in this industry, a lot of times they're kind of glossed over despite providing the money for purses and really everything. So what we try and do is give them a voice. And the way I got involved was when I first got into horse racing, I met some people on a message board. I really liked what they had to say about takeout and field size and drugs and other issues that annoyed me, and just went from there.
All right. Well, Charlie, best of luck. We'll come bug you a little bit later and see how you're doing.
Thanks, Jason.
All right. So Charlie was doing great. Again, seventh place right now and right about 140 points. So he's 60 points behind the leader. And, you know, if the leader, Mr. Bongiovanni, can keep it up, he'll be tough to catch. But we've seen it 100 times in these tournaments where the first day leader is not even to be found on the second day. So a lot of... A lot of time left. Tomorrow's going to be a very exciting day. I'm really excited to go downstairs and watch it. One person I caught up to as well is a previous champion, 2001 champion, Judy Wagner, and got her thoughts on the big NHC tournament. All right, day number one, getting going. The mandatory's gone. I'm here with Judy Wagner, 2001 NHC champion. Judy, what's been your impression of the first day so far?
I think it's been very exciting. We've had some long price horses come in. It'll be curious to see if all the screaming on the long price horses were because somebody had a pick three or did they have it in the contest.
As a player, when a big bomb comes up like that and you don't have it, what do you try to do to kind of keep your path, keep your, you know, keep your mind right?
Not panic. Hope they have it in a pick three or a pick five.
And not in the tournament.
Correct.
And one exciting thing so far is Jonathan Kinchin, who's live for the $2 million bonus, is not only leading, but his second entry is third. What do you make of his run that he's been on?
I think he's been on a terrific, terrific run. And I would love nothing better than to see the past 12 months with American Pharoah and Jonathan Kitchens both being big winners, because I think it'd be great for the contest world, it'd be great for the sport, and I did even a little future bet on him.
So good for you as well. Judy, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So that was the 2001 champion, Judy Wagner, talking to me. I think she's actually being inducted into the Horse Player or the NTRA Hall of Fame. I thought I overheard somebody say that. I should have asked her while I had her there. But it's kind of right in the foyer of the main area. And I'll kind of lay out how the area is set up. When you come in, it's on the second floor here at the Treasure Island, and you kind of come around, and there's a big main desk area, and then there's like kind of a big hallway, and the contest is split up into two rooms. There's a real big main room that probably has, and I'm totally guessing here, but probably 30 tables. Actually, it's got to be more than that. Probably 50 tables, and they're each holding six or seven people. And then there's another smaller room with probably another 20, 30, 40 tables in it. And I think 625 players in total. And it was interesting, too, to watch how some of the players do it, because I saw some people who showed up there for the first hour or two and then would go upstairs, you know, for an hour or two and take a break. Because the mandatories didn't start till 12:20 or so. So there was about 3 hours of racing before the mandatory bets struck in. So it was interesting to see some people's strategies on stuff like that. You know, 11 o'clock, right before the mandatories, when lunch was served, there was kind of a big rush for everybody to get out of the lunch spot. And I saw a couple guys who were making the mad dash to the ticket area. We have a little booth set up for Bet America out in front, and one guy just scared the living daylights out of me. I just heard the door come flying open, and he just went in a dead sprint. The guys that are in that other room, they kind of got to be a little more conscious of it, because I think the contest machines that you make your bets are only in the big room. So there was a lot of traffic coming out of there. Jonathan Kitchen, the guy who everybody's kind of keeping an eye on because he's playing for that extra $2 million, he's in that satellite room as well. And so I saw him walking by numerous times to get his wagers in. And it's just interesting to see people's reactions. I saw one guy that had one of the big 40-to-1 shots early on, and he was kind of cheering under his breath. And it made me wonder if, A, he didn't want people to know he had it, because they hadn't posted the scores yet, or B, if he was, I don't know. It was just so interesting to watch, how different people. There was a couple guys who, really got fired up, screaming and hollering and stuff, but nothing too serious. It was pretty cool. But I'm going to head out to a little break here. When we come back, we're going to be joined by jockey Flavio Pratt from Southern California, and talk to him a little bit about his comeback from his injury and riding in Southern California, as a newer jockey. He had a really, really strong season last year before having that injury in September at Los Alamitos, but he's back at Santa Anita and doing fairly well. And we're also going to hear, so Bet America had a VIP party last night. And I'm going to play some clips from that coming up a little later. But when we come back, Flavian Pratt joining us here in the barn.
Hello, this is Kayla Stratt, and I'm here to tell you all about BetAmerica.com. It is the fastest growing legal, safe, and secure website to place all your bets on horse racing. BetAmerica covers over 200 racetracks from North America, the UK, and my home country, Australia. New players to BetAmerica receive a 100% bonus on your first deposit up to $300. That's the best sign-up bonus available today. It's time to play the Bet America way.
All right, back here on the Bet America Radio Network, and we are pleased to go out to Southern California and welcome in one of the top young riders on the circuit down there. Flavien Pratt is joining us. Flavien, good evening.
Hey, good evening.
So you're off to a very strong start at the Santa Anita meet. How have you been feeling since coming back from that injury?
I'm feeling great. I mean, the first week was a little bit tough. I had to find some good horses, but now we start to have more business, and you know, everything is great now.
When you're coming back from an injury, do you take a week or two and just work around in the morning before riding in the afternoon, or do you just come back all at once?
Oh no, yeah, I came at least 1 month before the opening day, but I had to, you know, to ride a little bit to feel comfortable. But yeah, I came at least 1 month before the first race.
Was there a little bit of nerves getting back on a horse for the first time after an injury like that?
No, I was so happy to be back on a horse. So no, I was not nervous.
Flavien Pratt joining us. You know, when you are injured like that and you can't ride, did you find yourself being bored a lot at home? Or what did you do to kind of fill your time?
The first month was really hard because, I mean, you know, when you're in the job, you wake up early and you almost work all day long. So, yeah, the first month was really hard. I had nothing to do. But then, you know, you just hang around and that's it. You're waiting for, you know, the hitting and that's it.
Did you watch a lot of horse racing while you were out?
No, not much. No, I came to the racetrack a little bit, but you know, when you go to the racetrack and you saw your horse winning, so I was a little bit, you know, feeling bad about that. So no, I didn't watch much with the races.
Gotcha. Flavien Pratt joining us. You came to the U.S. from France, where you grew up. How did you become interested in horse racing?
My dad is a harness trainer, so I was always around the horses. That's why.
Were you more into harness racing or did the thoroughbreds as a young kid?
No, I always liked the thoroughbred. So, I mean, that was always like that. I was always more comfortable and happy with the thoroughbred. But I like the harness too.
Did you ever think about becoming a trainer, or did you always want to be a jockey?
No, I always want to be a jockey. I like the training and I like, you know, the morning, but I think it's a really tough job, and I mean, I like to be a jockey, so far it's okay.
I know a lot of folks have talked about your work you've been doing with Richard Mandel, obviously. You guys have had some great success. And I know you're riding a few for Peter Miller coming up this weekend with the stakes. Who have been some of the trainers you've really enjoyed working with over here so far?
Well, like you said, I mean, Richard Mandel is just, I mean, it's an incredible trainer, and it's a great person. And, yeah, I like to ride for him, but I like to ride for Peter Miller also. And, yeah, if you train on me, yeah, I like almost everybody.
when you and your agent go around in the mornings, are you guys going around looking to gallop horses from different barns you haven't ridden, or do you kind of focus on the ones that you usually ride for in the afternoon?
No, I'm focused on the one I rode the afternoon.
Okay. So you actually came, I know you came to the U.S. a few times to ride before moving here full-time. What were your first impressions of the racing over here?
I like the race here. That's why I came here. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I was impressed about the races. I mean, that's so different to the Europe. So, yeah, I was a little bit impressed.
How so different?
But first of all, you always turn on the left hand, and that's on the dirt. Most of the races are on the dirt. But, I mean, and even it's always, you know, the speed. I mean, you're looking for the speed, not the distance most of the time.
Flavien Pratt joining us here on the Bet America Radio Network. Now, another French rider who's had a lot of success here is Julien Leparoux. Did you talk to him at all before coming over here, or talk to any other French jockeys who had some experience riding in the U.S.?
No, not really. I did not know him before, but I met him once before I came here. I went ride in Canada and I meet him there, and yeah, we talk a little bit, but I didn't know him before.
Okay. And now you're focused, obviously, mainly in Southern California. And I was looking at some of the races coming up this weekend, and I know you're riding one in the stake on the downhill turf course. Do you guys have any courses like that over in France that are downhill or uphill that you've ridden on before, or is this the first kind of track like that?
Oh, no, in Europe, it's pretty much the track like that, you know, different. I mean, it's always a different track, and we get a little bit, I mean, it's not on the same end, but it's kind of a little bit like that. At Longchamp, we got a 7 furlong, it's a little bit down the hill. It's kind of like this track.
Is there a spot you like being when you're going down the hill? Do you like to be close up, far back, inside, outside? Have you had any kind of favorite spots as you've been riding that course?
You know, it always depends, you know, about which horse you have, and also, you know, the rail, sometimes when the rail is out or when it's in, you know, that's going to be different, but you have to have a pretty fast horse, and after, I mean, you have to be closer, pretty much. Mm-hmm.
Now, you obviously had a great Del Mar meet this past season. What are the main differences between riding at Del Mar and Santa Anita, or are there any?
That was a little bit harder for me because I didn't know the racetrack.
Uh-huh.
You know, that was the first time I rode on this racetrack. But at the end of the meet, I was comfortable, and I mean, I don't think it's harder or easy.
Now, there's so many great riders, obviously, in Southern California. Are there any that you go to for, either advice or if you have questions? Because, you know, you're still a younger rider. Who are some of the riders you admire there in Southern California?
I mean, I got a lot of respect for everybody. I mean, you know, when you ride with Mike Smith or even Gary Stewart, I mean, they have a great career. So, yeah, I got respect for, everybody. I mean, you know, I want to respect everybody.
Yeah, there's a ton of great riders down there. And I know big day coming up on Saturday for Cal Cup Day. Do you like riding the bigger days more than, you know, just an average Saturday? Do you guys get a little more pumped up for the big races?
Oh, it's always, you know, I mean, the big day is always, you know, what you're waiting for. But that's still a racing, and you have to be focused, and like every race.
Flavian Pratt joining us here on the Ben America Radio Network. I want to ask you about a couple horses that you are riding on Saturday in the Cal Cup. One of them is in the Cal Cup Turf Classic, a horse named Poshke, who I know you rode last year, I think, in the Hollywood, or the Gold Cup at Santa Anita, but haven't ridden him in a while. What do you know about this horse coming into this race?
Yeah, it's a really good horse. He got a long strike, and I think the track is a little bit deeper than it used to be. So I think that's going to help him a lot. He ran a huge race last time. So, yeah, I think it should be tough.
And then another horse I wanted to ask you about is in the is Richard's Boy in the sprint for Peter Miller. I think this horse is a little bit of an upset chance in this race. What has Peter told you about the horse? And have you been getting on him in the mornings?
No, I didn't try him, and we don't talk about him yet. So I can say anything about him.
With stakes races, do you usually talk to the trainer in advance of the race, or sometimes is it best to just wait till you're in the paddock together?
No, for me it's better to wait, you know, in the paddock. That's the way we do, and I think it's the better way.
Flavian Pratt joining us on the phone here, the Bet America Radio Network. Do the jockeys ever talk during the race? Like, if you're right alongside a rider, do you guys ever talk to each other?
No, not much. I mean, we are focused. No, we don't talk much.
Yeah, I was always curious, because, I mean, sometimes you'll see two riders ride together, and I'm always wondering if, you know, they're saying, hey, slow down, or anything like that, but apparently not. So, well, Flavian, I really appreciate your time and continued success down in Southern California, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good night. Flavian Pratt joining us here on the Bet America Radio Network. We'll be right back after this short timeout. You are in the barn.
Hey, I'm Chantel Sutherland Cruz, and want to tell you all about BetAmerica.com. It's the coolest place to bet on horse racing on over 200 racetracks from America and around the world. New players receive 100% bonus on your first deposit, up to $300. That's the best sign-up bonus available today. It's time to play the Bet America way.
All right, our thanks to jockey Flavian Pratt for joining us this evening, or this morning, rather. It's now Friday morning on the Bet America Radio Network. Went to the we had a Bet America threw a VIP party upstairs on the 31st floor and got to meet a ton of folks from social media that I've talked with over the years. Steve Schaefer is a guy I got to talk with today. Turns out he was a Cincinnati guy. And I got to talk more with Emily Gullickson, who's Mayhemily on Twitter, and Charlie Davis, who we interviewed earlier on in the show before day one, is actually in seventh place right now and doing fantastically. I will tell you, I said, hey, man, you had a great first day. And he was like, oh, yeah, it was all right. It's all right. We're, you know, I'm okay. And I must have talked to 15 or 20 players up there today, upstairs at this VIP party. And no matter if they were Charlie in seventh place or, you know, Joe Schmo in last place, every one of them had the same answer. They kept going, yeah, I'm in a good spot. I'm right there. One guy had like $20 and he said, yeah, I'm in a good spot. I'm right there. I was like, well, the guy who's got $150 more than you said the same thing. But I think the first day, everybody just, you know, really trying to establish some position. And we've had a number of folks from the Bet America team that had a pretty solid first day. Our former guest, Vic Stauffer, had a big first day. So hoping his success continues. And it'll be a lot of fun to see what happens here on day number two coming up on Friday. So that's going to wrap up this edition of The Barn, the Bet America Radio Network. We thank you for joining us. Don't forget, you can always email the show, barn, B-A-R-N, at betamerica.com. And you can find me on Twitter, at BeamyAwards, B-E-E-M-I-E-A-W-A-R-D-S. I'm a professional broadcaster, you can tell. But say hello on the social media. It was, I think I met more people from Twitter today than I had met from Twitter the first couple years of being on it by like sevenfold. I probably met 15 or 20 people. I got to talk to the DRF guys, Matt Bernier and Pete Fornatel. Yeah, it was a really, really fun day. And so we hope tomorrow's just as fun. And best of luck to everybody out there in NHC land. And if you're back home playing whatever your home track is, best of luck to you as well. So we'll catch up with you tomorrow for NHC day number two recap. But day number one in the books, and the leading guy at $200. And the rest chasing for a chance at that $800,000 first prize. And, of course, Jonathan Kinchin playing for an extra $2 million as the NHC Tour champion trying to win it. And he's both his entries are definitely in contention. So it should be a big, big day coming up Friday. So we'll catch up with you guys next time. Thank you for listening. This is The Barn.